Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has given us the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you that listen to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, once again, you know it's Friday. And you know what that means. It means heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I will be joining them. And as we await for my brother to come on, I want to once again take the time to thank God for all of you that are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio and those of you who have been faithfully listening over these past 3 years. I want to reiterate, as I said on the other broadcast, I think that was yesterday, Blog Talk Radio has been working on the system here. Been having some technical difficulties. People have not been able to hear us live. But I want to say, if you're listening to this on the recording, most definitely, if we're recording, you can hear us on the recording. So we pray that God would bless those who are fixing or working on the system to get it fixed. Amen? Praise be to God. But needless to say, we're grateful for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. And as once again, as we wait for my brother to come on, I want to say that this is a time that we need to seek Jesus. America, still in her pride concerning this coronavirus, and you're hearing so many different things from government, from leadership officials on what to do, wearing the mask. You know, a few months earlier, they said don't wear the mask. Be 6 feet apart, there was some time that, you know, some leadership would say, hey, even if you was around a person that was tested positive, you need to be out at least 2 to 14 days. But then you got other jobs say, oh, well, you just need to be out 3 days. It's one thing about this thing with the coronavirus situation, there's a lot of confusion mixed in it. And the Bible tells us that God is the author of peace and not confusion, okay? And there's a lot of confusion in this thing of the coronavirus. But the overall picture that many of you may have seen, some of you may not have, is that, to be honest with you, the government, the leadership officials do not know. They don't really know what to do. They just, and I'm not trying to be funny about this, but they're just telling you what they think, you know. It's not 100% saying that by wearing masks, you're 100% protected, okay? It's not 100% on that. And this is why, you know, this is a thing where America needs to seek God, but in her pride, she won't do it. She's still trying to figure it out herself while countless people are being effective and even dying. Amen. It's up to the believers in this nation to pray to God and ask God about what to do. Amen. It's up to the believers in this nation. This is one of the reasons why America has not totally went down. It's because of God having people in this nation. Okay. But I'm saying this because I really wasn't planning to say this on a broadcast when my brother come on, but it is very important that we see that, yes, man has a weakness. He does not have the answer. He does not know everything. He does not know what to do every time in every situation. But our God does, okay? You never have to worry about bringing a problem to God and God telling you, I don't know what to do. You never have to worry about that. With man, yes, you're going to have to worry about that because man is limited, okay? And man in his pride many times won't come to grips with that. And so we just keep trying to find this, find that, find this, find that, and things are not working. Then you have the school systems. They want to push the kids to come back into the classroom. I even saw on social media, and I don't remember what school it was wanting parents to sign this waiver. And the waiver was about just in case, you know, by your child going to school, your child die, we won't be held responsible. Oh, yeah, yes, you didn't hear me right. Amen. So it didn't got like that, you know. And with many of these people, it's about money. Okay? It's about money. Now, from what I understand, that $600 added on with the unemployment is supposed to run out, what, I think the 31st of this month, which is to be about 7 days. Okay? The way this virus is still going, and the way they're talking about many places, especially down south here, that they will have to do that closing thing again. Well, if you get many more people laid off, I mean, hey, they're going to have something. For example, when the $600 thing go away here in Mississippi, your unemployment is only $235 tops, okay? $235 tops, which a lot of people like bill call $235, you know. Amen. So you still have a dilemma, and God has been using some of his people to let us know about these things that was going to arise. One sister I saw on social media, she said God told her a surge was about to come. And I understand and see what she's saying. She even mentioned about the food shortage. Now, most of y'all that heard me on the broadcast heard me bring up about the food shortage. Amen. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Hey. Great evening, brother. Shalom. Shalom,
amen.
Yeshua is Lord. And it's good to, again, to break bread in fellowship and talk about the wonders of our Lord and grace that he has given to the people that believe on his name. So we are, again, seeing the sixth day to come together for a district. And we're given this privilege that Paul and Peter and John and Isaiah didn't have. This technology where we can speak to the world right from our home and talk about the promises and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So isn't that a miracle that Paul and Peter can have this technology? Wow, we have been privileged and chosen at this set time to be used to speak and utilize this technology that he created be used for good. So I just thank God for it.
Amen. Amen. I agree, brother. Very much so. I thank God for the access that he has given us to approach him in humility. And, you know, this time that we're living in with the coronavirus, I was telling the people that, hey, you need to see that man don't know. And America is too much in her pride to humble herself to turn to the true and living God. Now, you have the things like concerning the school system. Now, I don't know how they're doing it up there where you at, but, you know, they've been, quote, at concerning sending the kids back in the classrooms. But one of the schools, I think down this way here south, and I don't know which one it was, but I was looking at it on social media. They wanted the parents to sign a waiver just in case your child died, they won't be held responsible. Okay. Okay. So, you know,
yeah.
That's how we even got to, you know what I'm saying? So Okay. And no, brother.
Well, this is my focus. And I was being carried away, and my focus and my attention was taken up with all of the chaos, confusion, the political chaos. And I was not focusing on what the Lord wanted me to focus on. So I'm not going to spend my time upon the downfall of all nations and the crumbling of every civilization. I'd be spending too much time on focus on these things about her so much. And I had to slow down and stop and get my mind back and what the Lord wanted me to focus on. So I decided that... Let's see what the Lord wants us to focus on and speak about. Each of us who have an ear to hear, I guess they had to hear from what thus saith the Lord. But I've been distracted, very much distracted. You can get, you know, by all the chaos around you, confusion and struggle, you can get distracted and begin to just think continually upon it. It's okay to pray and intercede and stand before the Lord for these things that are coming. But our assignment is to bring joy and peace and hope to people. So that's what I was thinking today, an evening again, that the Lord God wants, hey, by the way, this is Handmaid's Night, and all the women of God around in the earth, I say hello. And hope is on the horizon. The hope of God is on the horizon. Don't give up. I know you may be in dark, dreary, terrible situation in every nation with tyrants and rulers and dictators and grievous things and food shortages and no water and many sorrows upon the land. But there is hope on the horizon. And we're on this broadcast, Dr. Kirk, to give a living, eternal, absolute hope to those that will listen, and listen to the Lord Jesus and his message of life and hope and deliverance. So, amen. Jesus Christ is the living hope. So I want to say today to all of the women in particular and to all people in every nation, greatly in my prayer, these different nations have been coming up to me. I mean, for a long time, Turkey, then it got Hawaii, Australia, then my eyes would turn upon Philippines and Japan, and there's things about to break forth in these nations. Now, the saints, the Lord wants, there's a scripture that says man was created, one of the real purposes that man was created to know joy and know peace in the love of God. And, of course, when Adam decided to get independent on the Lord and independently go his own way and follow his own thinking, and he introduced the world to grief and sorrow and pain and death. But now that Christ has come to redeem us from the curse of Adam and the curse of the law, there's for to be laughter and joy. And so the saints should not be carried down. The only thing the saints should be burdened about, really burdened about, have a burden for, is for the souls and for the nations of earth that are in darkness and sin. That's the only real burden they're supposed to be having. But in the midst of all of this, the Lord wants to hear laughter and joy, the joy of living, the joy of life, and the joy of the Lord coming from the saints. They don't have any real reason to be carried away with what the world is carried away with, because that world is coming to an end. Our kingdom of God is about to come in, and we should be in joy and laughter and rejoicing because the King, our Lord, is about to come to sit and rule his kingdom under his bride. So we that should be laughter and joy among the saints, the joy of living. God created us to know joy and the joy of living. So God wants to see and hear from the saints as we draw nigh to the kingdom age. He wants to hear laughter and joy come from their home, from their lives. He wants some laughter and joy. And I intend to have a joy of life. Hallelujah, because I'm in the kingdom of God and kingdom of Christ. And he created me to know joy. Not only the joy in him, but the joy of life and the joy of living. And so laughter, a merry heart made glad and healeth. And a merry heart is like medicine, the proverb says. So when we rejoice and have joy in living, that's a healing stream flows through our immune system. So I just want to thank God that he wants us to know the joy of living. Saints should have laughter coming and joy coming from their homes and their marriage, their kids, their business, their life. Oh, the joy of living and the joy of life. And double, because the presence of the Lord is like an overflowing stream. So I think the saints are getting carried away, and they should be having joy and victory and laughing and joy in their Lord, enjoying Christ, enjoying life. So I just want to say that because we'll miss it, the joy we're supposed to have in this life, because heaven has come to introduce itself to us, and Christ came and introduced to himself and the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom of Christ. So not only we have to enjoy all parts of life. Oh, just so glad and rejoicing in the joys of life. Enjoying their wife, enjoying their kids, enjoying on their jobs or their business, enjoying their associates, just enjoying life. Mangoes, eat some mangoes and have a good meal and be rejoiced. Eat some strawberries, eat your favorite steak. I'd rejoice in the joy of life. God put us here to know joy and have joy abundantly and know the joys of life. So I just going the saints. And you know, one of the things that we have failed to do during this pandemic, small disturbance, we call it, the saints seem like they should be rejoicing and having the joy of life and victory. Not only interceding for the world, and because there's a time and a season for everything. To everything, there's a time and a season, every purpose under the sun. Mother saints should be rejoicing as well as interceding. Hallelujah, and mourning and weeping for the nation. But they got to come out of there and start rejoicing. Our king is coming. The kingdom is about to come. We're going to have joy and rejoicing. It draws nigh. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. God did not make life for us to be in grief, depression, in sorrow. Sorrow is going to come, grief is going to come, but he didn't make us for the saints to be in that. So I just want to thank God that he wants us to thank God. Hey, eat your watermelon and your cantaloupe with joy. Hallelujah. Take your trip and your vacation with joy. Hallelujah. And live. God made us to live and have lived life. What do you mean? Live and have life. You know what Jesus said when he came to redeem us in John 10? I come that you might have life. Now, this life is not only talking about eternal life in us, but the life of a freedom and liberated people that are redeemed to live life. Oh, I thank God. So, amen. Enjoy. Enjoy your life. And God didn't make sons and daughters. When he first created the man, he didn't bring no grief, no sorrow, no agony upon him. That came through rebellion, and Adam brought and introduced all this sorrow, and Satan said, I want y'all to live a terrible, grieving life. Saints ain't supposed to be living that kind of life. They're supposed to be enjoying life, enjoying Jesus, enjoying the journey, enjoying the gospel, enjoying their wives and their kids and their goings and the oh, praise the Lord. I was thinking, brother, my phone been acting up a little bit. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, they also are fixing, I want to notify you of that too. They also been working on Blog Talk Radio. Brother Emmanuel got in touch with them, I think it was about almost a week ago. Yeah, about a week ago, and they've been working on it because and, you know, me and Brother Robert has been on. So the problem is they can't hear us live, but they can go back and listen to the recording. So that's what's going on now.
Can we blame it on the devil? Is that all right?
Yeah, I believe so. In fact, I want to put it that way, so we can hit him again.
He get blamed for everything. We might as well put some more on him because he's, you know, it may be just a merely technology of the function, but we're going to put it on him anyway. Okay. Because, you know, he don't really want us on this airways anyway. You know that.
Yeah, I agree.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. The day of the Lord's redeem has come. Let the trumpet sound. Amen. I'm going to enjoy life. God gave me life, and he want me to enjoy my journey and everything, the joy, and the joy of life. So, do you know what the devil hates when he sees laughter and joy coming from the saints? The demons get upset and they run. Hallelujah. That's why praise and so much praise and worship is in heaven. You go in heaven, they're just full of praise and heaven and glory. And my God, it's there's no darkness there at all. And the saints are in, hallelujah. Those people that used to couldn't sing, couldn't hold a note, man, they're singing away. Brother,
amen.
Amen. You know, Brother Clark had that favorite song, Is Your All on the Altar? If Your All is laying, Sister Christine, I bet he up there singing away. He said, my all is finished. It's on the altar. I'm here. And there was so much joy and praise and worship because that's what the Lord draws out in. But, you know, so many people are dying with grief, Brother Nate, and anxiety, you know?
Right. Yes, they,
and
yes,
so the devil wants to be steeped down in sorrow and grief. You know, that's his really desire. He wants
right.
to oppress us. Amen. Because he's miserable. You know he wants everybody else to be miserable. Okay?
Right. Amen.
The devil wants everybody to be miserable. And he wants them to be so grievous that they hate life. But God didn't create us to hate life. He created us to enjoy life and to redeem life in Christ. And so I'm going to enjoy life. I mean, I'm going to fulfill. I ask God to help me fulfill the will. I'm going to enjoy my life. Now, listen. Do you know how many people are dying because of grief and anxiety and distress and depression?
Amen.
Listen. And even the redeemed people are so oppressed. Do you know what the angel messenger says? When he brought a message to Brother Dre's and the angel came, he says, and one of the words of the Lord, he advised us, he said, be no more oppressed. Did you remember reading that in the 86th message? Be no
Amen.
More oppressed. Well,
Amen.
Goodness gracious, be no more oppressed. Not by life, not by things. Not by the devil, not by disappointment, by family, by loved ones, be no longer be oppressed. Oppressed. Oppression is not the will of God. Do you know what Jesus did? He says part of his ministry was breaking depression and oppression. The Bible said in Acts 10:38, he went everywhere, healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. And so I'm going to know some joy. You know, I'm going to have some Holy Ghost joy, and then I'm going to have some joy of living and just joy and drive demons away. Get out of my house. I'm going to joy up in here. Turn off that old devil's funky music. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear some joyful sounds from heaven.
Amen.
Let the angels come on around and surround us. So the joy of living. So, you know one thing I was thinking? That the Lord God created us to live long and prosper. Have you been, you remember that scripture in second, the third epistle of John? It says, what it says, brethren, above all things, that you prosper,
be in good health. You're right.
Even as your soul prosper. You know one thing. Unless our soul get a proper understanding of what the purpose of God is, that he wants us to live long, prosperous, and be in health. I said the Lord wants us to live long, prosperous, not live long in misery and sickness and disease and sorrow. No, live long and prosperous and be in health. Be in health.
Amen.
Be in health. Not to land in the hospital. Oh, I want to die. Oh, I don't hardly have any money. Nobody loves me. I just don't want to live. I want to die. My kinfolks don't want me. My wife don't want me. Children. I just fired from the job. I just don't have no way. I just want to die. Now, I can understand that my brethren, which are in the faraway countries, Far East, Near East, Middle East, Mediterranean, they're going and been going through great sorrows and grief in the land for many, many, many decades. But many of them that have come to Christ and come to know Jesus and a part of the kingdom are knowing their joy in the midst of sorrow. It's good to know joy in the midst of sorrow, brother. it's good to have a living stream in the midst of sorrow. This world is sorry over this falling of this world. But I'm not weeping over this fallen world. It's coming to an end, bro. I'm sorry for the people. I'm sorry for the ones in darkness. It's giving eternal hope. But I'm not sorry because this world is coming to an end and nations are falling and crumbling. I'm not trying to hold it up no more. It's our time, the kingdom of God's time, brother. It's the kingdom of our God time. The kingdom of our Lord has now come and is about to fill the earth, and he's coming. So I'm going to rejoice in that. The kingdom of this world, these nations, these governments, you got to come to an end, baby. Your time is up. Time is up. So I ain't trying to build and plant. Jesus is going to uproot it. I said, Jesus is going to uproot all of this, and it's coming with destruction because he's going to build Zion, the Zion, the kingdom of God. It's on the way, and it started all the way, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The last message in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, declared, proclaimed. The gospel of the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of our Lord. So I'm going to enjoy and rejoice. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, brother, but I like, and we're going to talk about health, because the devil do not want you to live long and prosper in the Lord. He doesn't want you to live long to give him a headache. But we're here to give the devil a headache and enjoy life and loose the captive and open the prison door. Amen?
Amen.
Can I get a Baptist amen? Brother, that sounds like a Presbyterian amen, you know?
Amen. Amen.
I love a Presbyterian and Episcopal people. I love them. But sometimes I just want to hear a good old Holy Ghost Pentecostal and Baptist amen. You know.
Amen.
Just, you know,
amen.
Shout unto the Lord. You know what David said? Shout unto the Lord. I wonder why. Shout unto the Lord, all ye earth. Is that all right? You think that's all right?
Amen.
David lifted his voice and shouted. He said, all ye earth, shout unto the Lord thy God. He let about shout. So if you shout unto the Lord in your house daily and laugh and get up and begin to magnify, the demons will leave round all your house. Even sickness, because a merry heart do is good like medicine. But a sad, a grieving heart messes up your what? Your immune system, put pressure on your heart. Your blood does not flow. Your stomach muscles, he kosher. So the devil want us depressed, using depressing words. He want us in contentious. He want us in argument. When you argue and fight, it releases something in your brains and in your system. So I'm only going to fight the Lord's battle. I'm not going to fight with people. I ain't fighting with Trump. I'm going to intercede and speak the word of God. And that's the Lord to do what he do best, to bring a miracle. Bring a miracle. Bring a miracle, God. Bring many miracles. So I want to say a few things about live long and prosper as the trees of Lebanon. Do you know the devil want our lives to be short and cut off with misery? That's his will. Why do you think he dosing, he giving out all this cancer and all this diseases and all, why do you think the devil is dishing it out all over the place, right?
Amen.
Tumors and diabetes and kidney problems and as in, you know, there's more and more people are on dialysis than ever been. Dialysis, they lost their kidney. Now, that's not the will of God. No, no, that's the devil destroying, killing, grief and sorrow. Now, we're going to talk about some of the things, the Lord, that we can, what you saying? Go ahead.
Amen. I agree. I agree with you there, brother. Amen. Yes, that needs,
you know,
that, you know, we need to continue to proclaim that to the people. It's interesting that you said that, because I was talking to someone today, and, you know, when someone suffers a loss or a loved one or something like that, the number one person that's automatically blamed all the time, by those that are either in ignorance, and even some that profess and be believers, is God. God is blamed, you know, for whatever, you know what I'm saying? And if it ain't, well, God did this, they say, well, why God didn't step in and stop? You know, you got all the questions towards God. And I say, well, people forget there's a devil.
Well, you know, that's why people don't understand. They don't understand the ways, nor the plan, nor the purpose of God. That's why they don't search the scriptures. The devil don't want them to know. Because he won't, anything that happened bad, you know who the devil wants to put in your mind to blame, right?
Right. Yeah.
God, he's to blame for all this. But you know, two people, they don't, the devil and themselves. Because a lot of the stuff is caused because we individually cause it to be. That's why the Lord says, above all your getting, get understanding. Get understanding about the will of God and the purpose of God. At least you'll be blaming him for all of your sorrow and your grief. And you notice when we do things and sin enter into the earth, rebellion into the earth, man don't want to take no responsibility for his own action. His own actions cause a lot of the things in the earth. Satan is there to influence us, but man's rebellion and ignorance cause a lot of evil in this world. For example, there's a law, because the Lord God had decreed to Israel that they want them to live long in the land the Lord giveth. Now, let's give you an example. The people don't know the laws of God. When you violate the laws of God, that's why the devil don't want you to read the Bible. Don't want you to study the gospel. He don't want you to know the ways and the laws and the purposes. He don't want you to live and have life and benefit. For example, brother, in Psalms 103, he said, what shall I render to the Lord from the Lord for all his great benefits? He said, what shall I give unto Jehovah for all his great benefits? A lot of time we don't take time. What are the benefits of the gospel? What are the benefits? What are the benefits of being a citizen to the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. But the devil, the evil one, wants you to be ignorant of these things. So you can blame God for all your sorrow, disasters. Now, it's normal for a person to lose something valuable, a loved one, or a business, or something, or wife. Sure, that's normal to sorrow and have a grief for a loss of a loved one for a short period of time. For a short period of time. But he didn't intend for us to live a life of grief and sorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Moses, the great man of God. All of Israel mourned the great leader. I mean, sorrow hit them. There was not a man like Moses, the prophet Moses. But the Lord let them mourn for 30 days. He allowed them to cry and weep in sorrow for 30 days. Then he said, okay, it's time to move out of this and move forward. You know, you can get into a mourning. Brother, many people have mourned over certain loss or grief or disappointment that they don't even want to live anymore. They want to commit suicide. You got more people now under the spirit of suicide in the earth, brother, grieving, don't want life because of the darkness, disappointment, the disease in their life. And who are they blaming for? God is to blame for all this. God is to blame. Well, we're about to get you some good news, brother. Jesus is not to blame. He came that you might have life. You might have deliverance and have life in its fullness. He wants you to know joy. He wants you to know peace and the love of God, the grace of God. Devil is a liar. This affliction and this disease, these plagues, mostly not coming from God. God will send plagues to the earth to wake up the nation. That's true. But it's sent against the wicked, the ungodly, to wake them up. Hallelujah. But the plagues and sorrows and grief come because sin and rebellion and Satan's influence upon man. Oh, calling grief upon man. All right, brother. Let's see what we can do here. I got a point here. I would above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your understanding take you. Now, when you gonna get this understanding about how the Lord wants you to live a long life? Let's see. In Leviticus 11. Let's talk about one area. The Lord God made a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob concerning a special people that was come out of his loins. They would be called the children of Israel, 12 tribes, the seed of Jacob. They were his chosen covenant people that he chose in the earth in particular. Now, he gave them a perfect nutritional that they, he says, I don't want you to suffer the sickness, the disease that the other nations are. He said in Exodus, he said, I don't want you, none of these sickness and disease that come upon you, if you follow my instruction and my orders, none of these will come upon you. But one of the things, he gave them a law concerning the health and the body, brother. And you know,
amen.
There's people and Christians, my brother, who thank God has went to the Supreme Court and negate that law. And that law is no good. But when the Lord gives a life, a law about life, it is forever because he wants you to live and have life. So when he gave Israel this law about living free from many sickness and disease and living long without pain and agony, he gave them a law called health. Health. And he gave them things, said, don't be like the other nations. Don't have no part with them. I'm about to teach you something about long life and health, how to avoid all these sickness and disease that's upon the nation that I will not let you have if you follow my instruction. Now, let's see. In Leviticus 11, he gave them a menu. Mate, Brother Nate, now.
Yes, sir.
The all-wise God, looking out for his children, I'm going to give you a perfect menu for your health. And he gave Israel the perfect menu, and he didn't know it, and he hasn't taken that menu back. I know the saints want to say I can eat anything. Go ahead and eat everything. That's why you go in the doctor's office. That's why your life is shortened. That's why your high blood, your arthritis, your colon, your intestinal, colon cancer, all these colorectal cancer, breast cancer, tumors. God wants you to live. My people destroyed for lack of knowing. If you get wisdom and understanding and laws of life, and he gave Israel the laws of life to live long, be in health. He said, none of these, I want none of these sickness and disease to be upon you. God wants you to live in perfect health. Do you know that he wants us to live in complete perfect health?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's his will. We may not reach it, but that's his will. I said, that's his desire for you, his children. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed out of the hands of the enemy. You know what he redeemed us? He came to redeem us from all sickness, disease, infirmity, oppression. That's what redemption is talking about. Not only redeeming from the curse of sin, being separate from God, but redeemed from the curse that affected our lives, what we live in this flesh. Okay? He gave Israel Leviticus 11, he gave them a perfect menu. I don't care about, and now some people are catching up in the Western world. They are finally catching up with the menu that Lord gave Israel, and they're telling us we should eat this and eat that and stay out of the doctor's office. Wow. Hallelujah. He wants us to live in and have help, not grief and sorrow. You know, this arthritis is a terrible thing. brother, this arthritis in the western hemisphere is a terrible affliction of the bones and joints. Do you know what bring arthritis? Two things that bring arthritis and rheumatism on? The Bible gives us a hint. It's some of the stuff that we're eating. And one of the other things that brings our bone brittle is jealousy and envy will destroy your bone. Now, are you jealous and envious to somebody? Are you holding a grudge against somebody? Well, it will eat your bones and your inside out. So Jesus said, live in love. Walk in love towards all men. And have peace in your, the peace will go through your system and cause you to be quiet, and your health will be blessed. Not only in your mind, your emotions, but in your body. Now, peace will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It keeps your mind, it keeps your body, it keeps your soul. If you walk in peace, that's a help and a protector. But a lot of people have to keep messing all the time. Oh, fussing and arguing and contention and evil speaking. You go ahead. I'm not going to get in it, baby. I want to live. I don't want no diseases come up on me from no contention and arguing and fighting. Your what? Your endocrine, your pituitary gland, your colon, your immune system is being destroyed when you got any bitterness and hate against any person. Uh-oh. I didn't hit. Did I hit myself and a lot of other people I'm getting rid of? Did I hit a lot of people, saints and sinners, brother?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you hit the bulls out there, brother.
I want them to be free. Healing well.
You're going to become more popular, brother.
Huh?
You're going to become more popular and popular. Just keep working at it.
Oh, my goodness, brother. I thought you was first place. I'm going to have to take it back. I'm going to have to take back first place, okay?
You didn't took it, brother.
Hallelujah. Do you know one of the things that America suffer from? And a lot of people, they don't drink enough pure, clean water. Uh-oh.
Amen.
I know you want that sweet pop and sweet this and sweet that, all that sugar. Sugar is going to kill you, baby. That refined white sugar and that coloring, that preservative will kill you in your body. He said, bless, sanctify everything you put in your mouth. Even if you, You better sanctify it. Even though he tells you not to eat certain things, I bet you better sanctify it so it won't do you no evil, no harm. Even though he gave a law, said don't eat this, don't eat the crow, don't eat the raven, don't eat the rabbit, don't eat this. No, I'm going to eat what I want, Brother Nate. I'm going to eat what I feel like. I love it. But go ahead. All that salt and sugar in your system, go ahead. Go ahead. The doctor, he love you. He going to be able to buy 2 boats, 3 boats, and 3 houses.
Amen.
Amen. He going to be able to buy his sons and daughters that club and send them to that special car. No, I appreciate the doctors. I really do. I'm not making light of them. But I'm just saying what's going to happen to saints and sinners. They're going to fill the doctor's office. Thank God for the doctors. But I'm not here to make the doctor rich, brother. That's not my job, to make the doctor. Saints are not here to make the doctors rich. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
He wants us to live long and prosper, be in health. And he wants us to live in health and live in healing. You know what people do? They get up depressed. They go to bed depressed. Philippians, Paul said, be not anxious or depressed about anything. I wonder, is it the will of the Lord for you to be depressed in your mind and in your body? Because that affects your health, your physical, your mental health, and your emotional health, but it comes down into your body as poison, and your kidney and your liver cannot handle. That's why when you argue and fight and depress, your kidney and your heart can't hardly take it. Did you get that now? Why do you think Jesus said, follow peace, pursue peace, and stay in peace? The people that do that notice a difference in their lives. I know a lot of people can't stand me, brother. I know that. But I'm trying to keep you alive. And well, myself.
Amen.
If you want to stay in hell, have forgiveness in your heart for every situation. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, if you don't live in forgiveness, you'll be tormented. Now, what's that torment? Oh, my goodness. If you don't live in love and forgiveness towards all people, you're going to live in torment. And your health is, and your life could be cut short. When you hold grudge and jealousy, your bones and your arthritis, you better look at why your bones and your arthritis, not only that salt and a lack of a proper calcium and vitamin D that you're not eating, vitamin D and C, you're cooking your food too long, cooking all the stuff out of it, overcooked food, cooking all the substance out of your food. Well, I'm making all kind of friends today, Brother Nate.
Yeah. You've been doing that for a pretty good while, brother.
God wants you to know joy and live joy. He wants you to live in pain and sorrow and suffering. We know that persecution, pain, and attacks will come from the enemy. We know that. But it's not to take hold to you because you're in the kingdom. You got something to fight. You got a weapon. You got a promise to fight when the enemy come to afflict you. Now, we afflict our own self by our own mouth, stuff that we stuff in our mouth. And then we afflict ourselves with our mouth, with our tongue, speaking evil against people. Two ways we get afflicted, through your mouth, saying things that it ought not to say and putting things in your mouth that ought not go in there. The third thing, we overeat. We overeat. Do you think that happened, brother? Because I know I had a problem with that. Hey?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
But we need, don't worry about, you can overcome. I said, God made it possible for you to heed instructions and wisdom and overcome it. Hallelujah. Above all, you'll get understanding, get wisdom, and live long and prosper, be in health of your sofa. You won't have to be in the prayer line all the time, getting healed and anointed with oil. God, that's not his perfect will that you be in a prayer life. That is a part of his will about deliverance and healing. But his perfect will that you live in health. Not live to be prayed for, but live in health and walk in comfort. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's show you the difference by living in the natural. Try to eat natural food. Uncooked food as much as possible. Wash it, cleanse it. Look natural food because it has not been cooked to death. And all the stuff will go. When you look at something in its natural state, it has all this substance and vitamin, minerals, and everything, enzymes in it. But when you cook it, you're cooking all that stuff out of there. Now, listen, when you eat something natural, look at this. The Lord, when he created man, he gave him to eat every fruit-bearing thing in the garden. No flesh, no killing. No flesh until after the fall. After the fall, he put a law on what we could eat as human. But the wild people in the West, in the Western family, bro, they believe they can eat as much anything they want to. Saints say, I can eat anything I want. Okay, why are you filling the doctor's office then? I know some things God will heal you and deliver you by faith, but here's where wisdom stick in. Wisdom is not going to fight against faith, and faith is not going to fight against wisdom. You keep eating all that sugar and salt and all that stuff, faith said, you're going to have to reap what you sow. That's what wisdom will say. You're going to have to reap what you sow. When that doctor put that thing to your mouth and said, you said, hey, I see in your bloodstream some cancer. We'll talk about this, that the Lord wants us to live long and prosperous, be in health, even as our understanding come. Hallelujah. Now, if you have an argument or a fight or a grudge, read 18th chapter of Matthew and Romans 13. Because emotional healing, when you have bitterness and whole unforgiveness, it affects your central nervous system and your heart. Do you know you're doing it to yourself when you hold a grudge and bitterness? You're doing it to yourself. You're killing yourself. Oh, you're destroying cells in your body. Cells.
Amen.
You know, our body is made of millions of molecules and cells.
Amen.
Go free, saints. Get rid of this stuff And then the devil see that you breaking the law, he come and smack you with something. He loves to smack us with death, brother. He just loves. He's a rotten, filthy, no good. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. He come to kill, oppress, to afflict. That's his job. That's what his nature is. He has no love. He has no joy, no peace, no hope. So he afflicts. He oppress. He kills. He takes the saints. Some saints going to leave early because they don't heed the law of wisdom. There are some people still holding grudges 20, 50, 30, and 40 years bitterness. They won't let it go, Brother Nate.
Amen.
But me, I'm asking God to show me any bitterness, angry. Get it out of me. I'm willing to humble myself because I want to live and have life and live long and prosper, be in health, to do mankind good and to bless the kingdom of God, to live a long time and give the devil a headache and put him under feet and loose the captive and open the prison door, live and have life, have joy and laughter. All right, brother. Now, I got one part about living long. It's about your perfect menu God gave us. And I want to give you one more. I told you about jealousy and how envy would mess up your bones and how holding unforgiveness mess up your immune system and Dr. Clinton and your heart problem. Oh, and all that sugar and salt and that cooked food would have you limping to the doctor. So I'm popular right now, brother. Can you give me a hand clap? I'm popular.
Oh, I got to give you a hand clap and a feet clap, brother. I'm gonna give you a hand and feet.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The third thing, if you want optimal health, stop eating so much dead stuff. I didn't say you couldn't eat meat, but it's certain types of meat that God put a rule that's good for us. Now, somebody went over there and tempted and read that one little scripture, brother. They're going to base all their stuff on that one little scripture, that Paul, one little single scripture. And see, God never established any truth on one. God never established a principle on just one. And so, saints in the New Testament went over there and tempted and got this one little scripture out of context, this one scripture now. So you go ahead and run with that scripture out of context and out of understanding. And eat anything you want. All you got to do is bless it. So I'm going to send some crows and some owls your way. I want you to bless these brothers and these crows. And I want you to have you a good picnic.
It won't be a picnic for long, brother. You ain't got to worry about that.
I'm
going to
send the vultures
picnic
to eat dead meat. Since they're God's creature, I want you to bless and sanctify them. And you just have yourself a good time. I'm going to send some rodents, some rats, and all them fellas. And since you said God bless, He blessed every creature, but it's not for your consumption. I said it's not for your consumption. Man is made in the image and likeness of God. He gave you a menu for you humans. Now, if you was an animal, looking, brother, you know gorillas, they eat vegetables, and they're more healthy than we are.
Yeah.
You know, the hippopotamus, they eat vegetables and weeds. Somebody need to wake up, bro.
Yeah.
The elephant, one of the biggest creatures on the land. He don't eat no meat. And I'm not against meat now. Hey, don't send me no mail. There's certain types of meat that's good for your health. God gave a perfect menu to Israel in the 11th chapter of Leviticus. The elephant, one of the biggest, strongest creatures, he eats leaves and twigs and all that stuff. Now, let's see. They did a survey among certain groups, and they said the Seventh-day Adventists, another Hebrew, they eat more fruits and more vegetables, they live longer and free from certain diseases. That's no accident. All right now, let's read this scripture for the sisters, come on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, brother. Can we get Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, about living long, free from hell, free from hate? If you got any hate sin, hate unrighteousness, but I had to apologize to Mr. Trump. I was hating all his evil deeds and all his wicked words, but I was crossing over to him. So I had to put on Facebook, forgive me, Mr. Trump. I was getting bitter against you because I should have just been bitter in agreement, disagreement with all your works of evil or unrighteousness, but not you. Not you. Can't get bitter against the person. Okay, I got to have love for that person and pray for him. I pray for Trump that the Lord redeem him and save him and heal him and make him whole. And his wife and his family likewise. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 said, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Now, you want to lengthen your lives and lengthen your days. We're talking about lengthening your life or cutting your life short. Lengthen your lives. The Bible tells you that you can lengthen your days and lengthen your life. And not just in misery, but be in health and wellness and soundness. We eat a lot of stuff in America that causes dementia and Alzheimer's. Okay, we ain't got time to get on that today. I said, do you not know that Americans in particular eat and they're drinking a lot of old polluted water and drinking a lot of hormones and stuff and meat and all kind of stuff in our food that's giving us dementia and Alzheimer's? Did you get that, bro?
Amen.
If we don't cleanse our colon, and we don't cleanse our intestines out and our liver and do a cleansing at least once or twice a year of our liver, our intestinal, and our colon, if we would keep that clean and pure, we would be more than blessed in physical and mental health, because it affects your mental, your brain, and your emotions too. You know, when you got enough sugar and salt in you, brother, you'll fly off the handle. Do you know that?
Yeah.
That white sugar, that refined sugar, not that good sugar cane you go in the field and get some sugar cane, bro. That's all right, bro.
Yeah.
All right. 6:2 talks about honor your mother and father. What do you see in the earth, especially in the American culture, that is lacking in this area, brother? Honor your mother and father. The first what? Commandment with promise. Is that right?
Right. That's right.
The first commandment with promise. So when we ignore and we see in our land what? Dishonor and disrespect.
Right.
What you think going to be loose behind that?
Amen.
The third thing is honor the hoary head, the white head. Then it says, double honor to the white head that's in the Lord. Do we get that?
Right.
So if we, when a land comes that it don't give respect to its seniors, I know we got some wicked seniors now. I ain't saying it ain't hard here. But I said this law is for us to live and have life and cause peace in the land because he gives us a law of civilization, a law of respect and honor. Now, I know a lot of adults are causing their children to sin, adults and parents causing their children to run away from home and sin, molesting the children because they got this guy over there molesting the babies and girls. A lot of that is going on in America. Is that right?
That's right.
Hallelujah. And the little children are so misused and abused by some of these, what should I call them, thugs or pimps or just helps a gangbanger or what?
Boyfriend.
Oh, they're friends? I don't like that, brother. Friend. I don't like that part about the friend. Because the Bible got a definition about friends.
Well, see, that's the term they come up with. So
They call it a friend.
Right.
I'm afraid I can't call these boys no friend to you, commit them or not. Let's call them, let's give them a good name, brother. Male and female comrades.
You gave him a good and a long name, didn't you, brother?
Yeah, comrade. I don't want to call them all thugs and pimps and users and manipulators, brother, because that sounds a little bit too harsh, right? So,
well,
what
yeah,
are we going to be?
Yeah, but, you know, oh, well, yeah. Okay, I just leave it at that.
Well,
but anyhow,
yeah, we're gonna be a little kinder and a little gentler. They're just setters and lost and misused and angry and upset. Maybe they didn't have a good home, so they went in wild and misusing and trying to be a dog. Have you ever understood, brother? Why in America and in Western cities, you hear people saying, "Hey, dog," saluting one another with the head clap. "Hey, dog." What's that about, Brother Nate? Hey, dog.
Yeah.
Young people, a lot of them, young men standing in the corner, "Hey, dog." Do you know what they call the young ladies? I can't repeat it. So
right.
I just had that long. But our young people need a lot of help, a lot of attention, because some come out of broken home, wounded heart, single home, no father. No leadership, no direction, no God, man, no covering. A lot of them just are in orphan's home, thrown away. And so there's a lot of healing need to our youth. A lot of healing. All right. Where is sisters at now? Our sister Lillene Anderson, is she going on a dinner with her husband? Or going visiting or something?
Well, I pray that if they, you know, got this system fixed. If not, she may not be hearing us because they can't,
they can't
hear us. But
I forgot they can't hear us.
They
have to go back and listen.
Well, yeah, but what they can do is they can call in, and I can put them on mute, and they can listen in. So if they still call in, I can still patch them on. So if they're thinking about what time it is now, they can still call in, and I can patch them on. They just that on their own would not be able to hear us, but they can hear us. If I patch them on, you know.
Okay. All right.
So.
Well.
So.
I guess.
Well, you know what, brother? I want to say something on what you were speaking on. That is, I can't stress how important it is that even the Christian home has missed it. When you talked about our young folks and the things of balance. Brother, it's sad to say the generation of the firm standers, I call them the ones in the Lord that firmly stand, has been dwindling away. Brother, you remember the old church mothers? You remember Susie wasn't coming in there with no short dress on. Oh, no, none of that.
No.
If she coming there and sat down, the mother's finna throw a coat over her leg. Susie might look at her like, "What you doing?" She said, "Baby, we ain't having that. Not up in here. None of that, baby. None of that. They didn't just dwindle the way. Now it's just let loose and let hang. You know what I'm saying? Let loose and let hang.
Well, they don't become 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Romans 14. No modesty, no self-control. The Bible talks about being moderate in your dress and your presentation and not to tempt people. But now you can't, if you go to certain churches, brother, man, it's a temptation stuff. They got all kinds of stuff. You can't hardly keep your eyes on the sermon. The people can't get it. The guys can't, man, because you would think you were some other place. But in the house of God, I think it's a lack of understanding for good-hearted and loved people who have what they call freedom. They said, "We're free to do whatever we want to do, dress like we want to, talk like we want to talk. You can't tell me I'm free in God." No, you free to be foolish.
Right.
I'm sorry. Free without understanding to discipline yourself. You're not walking around half naked, exposing yourself, tempting people, and telling me this is your freedom. Well, see through, see this. And they want you to see everything, bro.
Right.
What they want, they're dressing, they want you to see everything. You ain't got to imagine no more.
Right.
Y'all forgive them.
I know they're good people.
But
that's the truth. Some people are doing it in ignorance. Some is not doing it in ignorance. But either way it go, it is opening up for a spirit of seduction. It's a seducing spirit. And like I said, some of them are doing it in ignorance. Some of them just simply don't care. Okay? And it's an open spirit of seduction. And also, that's not the love of God, because the love of God will have you thinking about, if you're a woman, the love of God will have you thinking about your sisters who have husbands in there. If you're a man, the love of God will have you thinking about your brothers who have wives in there.
Well, but here's the thing. If you're a redeemed Christian, you have to be taught moderation and self-control. Because we're in an ungodly world with fallen nature. Brother, we're not in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, God knows my heart. Yeah. But he need to know your brain, what you thinking.
Amen.
You setting up in the house of God, and you think that everybody, we're still in this flesh, brother. We may be born again, but we're still in this flesh.
Right.
And you can't be unwise, men and women, provocatively to show your sexual self off so you can get some attention, drawing the flies to the honey, and you get a lot of stuff that you don't want. I just want somebody to see me. No, see your righteousness, see your intelligence, show your wisdom, see your talent, not your flesh.
Right. Amen.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be unkind, but it doesn't got out of hand.
Oh, yeah.
In America and in the Western world. Then it would allow this in an African people. You know, the African people don't dress like that. When they come to Christ, they got more what? Why is that? Look at the Chinese. When they come get right, they don't get naked. Why is that? The Mediterranean people, when they get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, they don't get naked or provocative. Why not?
Amen.
Brother Nate?
Amen.
When the Mexicans get Holy Ghost filled and Pentecostal, their women don't get naked. The men don't get all, well, some of them may be, but I'm talking about, especially the church world, I'm talking about people in Christ. Why don't they get started exposing everything? I believe good people do this. Good Christian people are doing this without thinking, and saved people.
Right.
You're causing people to lust. Do you know what lust after you?
Right.
Lust. The only person that's supposed to see you and see your partner is your husband, your wife.
Right.
That ain't for the world.
Amen.
Give me a break now, sisters. Well, I can dress what I want. I have the freedom. God don't care. God sees my heart. I wish that was the only thing we saw.
Amen.
But you showing more than what's in your mind. That's unwise. Not respectful of other people. Are you respecting your mother, your father, your brother? Are the men dressing more feminine? Or am I wrong, brother?
No, you're right. You're right, bro.
And they were coming in with some tight stuff. They can't even get a credit card in no pants. They want men spread all this tight stuff. Why are you doing that? What purpose?
Amen.
What are you trying to draw? I thought Christ was supposed to be what you want to draw to. But they see, they can't get to Christ because they see some other stuff. We're still living in this flesh. We don't have our redeemed body yet, so we have to be wise, be moderate. But in the Western world, the Christians are far in the Middle East, they're different. America, our Christians, we got so much liberty. Oh, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. We're just explaining the laws of respect and honor.
Amen.
In my days, like you saying, when the old days, you come in the church, in the especially in the Pentecostal First Scripture, walking in with them, Joshua, the mothers get you, come here, girl, let me talk to you, girl. Come back here. Need some understanding here. And so that when they do shout and roll over, you got to put a blanket over them, brother.
Because
everything. We love you still. You can still have the love of God and the grace of God and don't have wisdom about how to carry yourself in this world. Now, understand that. You can still be redeemed and have the love of Christ in you, but just don't have proper understanding how to conduct yourself in this world. That's what we're saying. Because you're walking among the ungodly, the unsaved, and you're not walking in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, have you ever seen, brother, anybody that visit heaven and come back, and they don't say how short the skirts of their duty?
Oh, no.
Why is that? Why is all the redeemed Amen. People in heaven usually got on long robes?
Right, and covered.
Why do they have their shorties on?
Amen.
I just wonder now. I'm just saying, why don't they? In any place, they have all that freedom. I think I'm going to have my blouse all out. I'm going to have my shirt out with my rude and redeemed body. No, no, no.
Well,
no.
Well, you know what? You know what, brother? That's why one of the things they miss is when the scripture says, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And see... the will of God. See, that covers a whole lot of things. People try to narrow it to, like, sometimes one thing. But no, that covers, we read about the angels, what do they have on? Long robes. They have robes
on. Come
on,
with you know, shorties on and rolling up. Well, I can do it. I'm an angel. I'm going to wear me a little shorty on, show my knees and show this and show this. Really? Really? The kingdom of God for to come to earth, we for to have a kingdom mind. We're citizens
right.
of the kingdom. So it is the job of the mature women and men to teach discipline and moderation
Amen.
And temperance. And do you know the sad thing about it? In the Western world churches, this has gotten out of hand. Would you say it's gotten out of hand?
Yeah. Oh, and it got greatly out of hand. Greatly out of hand.
And I don't say that you can't know Christ. That's not what we're saying. You can't have Christ in your life. But you be ignorant how to work, how to walk, how to conduct yourself. You can have Christ in your heart, but your understanding can be dull.
Right.
Did you get that?
Amen.
That's why you need to hear the preacher and the teacher and the prophet. Why do you think he gave the preacher? Why do you think you had to hear the preach word, the taught word, the prophetic word? Why do you think God raised the preacher, the pastor, the prophet, the apostles, the teacher, to teach you? Did I step on the toes there, bro?
Oh, yeah, you stepped on a whole lot of toes, brother. But you, like I said, you've
okay.
been doing that for a while, though, brother.
I look like this. Since I'm on the roll, I might as well keep going.
Yeah, I agree with you, brother. Ain't no need to stop it right now.
No. But let us take time, and we're going to pray and intercede for hallelujah. The devil has got a war going between these political parties. There's a reason behind it, and we need to pray because Satan is masquerading himself and calling himself a Republican, Democrat, a progressive, and a socialist. Oh, I said Satan is masquerading himself. Oh, you didn't think that he was in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the Progressive and Socialist Party. You just thought he was only in the Democrat and Socialist, did you? I know. You didn't think the devil is buck-naked when he reveals himself as a communist. They just come out and the socialists and the Marxists and the Islam, they just get buck-naked and tell you where they stand. But this is the subtle, the devil is in the Republican Party too, the conservatives too, as well as the liberals, Democrats. Anybody
Amen.
Out there listening to me? All flush. I don't care what party you call yourself. You can make all these rules that you believe in God, conservative Republican, and they're good rules about abortion, but you don't walk up and live them things. You're sidewinders. You're behind the scene. So let's everyone get revival and bow their knee. Conservative, Republican, Democrats, together. The same spirit that separate them is the same type of spirit that separate the restoration. Pride and selfishness and arrogance and deceit and racism. You know when I bring racism, brother? Ooh, everybody get upset.
Amen.
They don't even want you to bring that up, brother, because it's been so long and so strong and so mighty in the country and in the world. They want you to forget, like, racism and discrimination and evil. They don't want to bring that up. But I'm going to bring it all up. I ain't going to let the devil run free. I'm going to expose all of that devil, all of that demon. You just think we're going to talk about it's sin and homosexual. Oh, no, we ain't going to just talk about that sin, about the homosexual. Oh, you think you're going to get away, Republican, Democrat, progressive, business people, greedy, stealing, robbing the poor, not giving black people their proper. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that? Well, you don't want to hear the gospel. You don't want to hear the gospel, do you? Because they throw Jesus out of many of the good places when he exposed them. See, we're not the silent type. Brother Nate and I is not the, we're not going to keep silent. We're not going to let nobody tell us, don't blow the trumpet, just blow what we want you to blow. I'm going to blow whatever that record Nephi and that Bible said blow, I'm going to blow it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be no more oppressed by the devil and the traditions of men. Brother, let's pray this prayer about Turkey, Hawaii, Australia keep coming. That northern part of Africa to the ends of the coast. Hallelujah. Let me see. Yorkshire, Ethiopia, the Mongolian area. Mongolia. The islands keep coming up. Bermuda, Caribbean, Siam. Lord Jesus, work your perfect work and counteract what Satan is doing.
Yes, Lord.
Intervene. Send forth a visitation and victory to these places and let that arise, an army of the Lord Jesus out of this people. Russia is... There's a surge in Russia for Christ, a mighty surge going on in Russia. And Putin, he can hide what he wants, but he can't stop this surge from the Lord. North Korea, Pyongyang, there's a move of the Holy Ghost in Korea. And Pyongyang, and whatever Kim Jong, he can't stop this. He tried to oppress and kill, but he can't stop. They can imprison, they can't stop the hand of the living God. Leo, Indonesia, there's going to be another great move. Great, 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 great move in Indonesia and India. It's going to stop. It's going to hinder. It's going to block. Let us believe for a supernatural miracle in these nations. Africa going through a famine in certain parts. And America, we've been warning you for the last 10, 12 years that this famine, this race riot is coming, this divisions. This chaos and plague is going to hit America for the last 10, 15. You've been warning you it's coming. And the Lord's trying to awaken you to prepare. It's upon us now. It's Brother Nate and I, our job to blow the trumpet in Zion. We can't wait on anybody else to do it. We have to do what the Lord commands us to do, to blow the trumpet in Zion. We may get put out,
Amen.
Put down,
Amen.
Cast down. But we're going to do it anyhow in the name of the Lord. Let us be vigilant
Amen.
And humble and meek and lovely. Lord, reach out your hands to these nations, these people in darkness and in sorrow and grief. Send forth your messenger of your covenant, the visitation of your angels. Show yourself unto these people who are longing for help and seeking and crying out in the name of Jesus. Overthrow the kingdom of darkness. Help America. We're at the crossroad. Lord, we're at the crossroad of no return. Lord, America is at the crossroad of no return. Lord Jesus,
yes,
America is the crossroad of no return.
Yes, sir.
We need your help.
Yes,
we need the saints to pray and fast and cry out and come together. Pull those walls down, those religious walls. One Lord, one faith, one blood, one redemption, one resurrection, one Lord, one Jesus, one true gospel. The rock. Come together, saints. You may have your differences, but if you believe the blood and the death and the resurrection, come together on the blood, death, and the resurrection of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's beat back the
Thank
powers
you.
Of darkness before we consume America. Lord, visit your people.
Hallelujah.
Cleanse us and wash us, sanctify us.
Yes,
give
Lord.
Us the dedication to stand in the gap. For the time is not long. Brother Nate, you can end it.
Yes, Father, I come in agreement with my brother this day and the nations that he have called out. As you signify by your spirit and his spirit, the places to pray for and the people to cry out for. Father, we are truly grateful that you have given us this opportunity to preach and teach the gospel. And you've given us this opportunity to make prayer, intercession, and supplication for all men. And Lord God, as we get ready to end this broadcast, it does not end the word of God. So therefore, Lord God, we pray that you will continue to move among these nations that was mentioned, among the people in this nation, and bring forth the change for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yes.
And touch the hearts that have yet to receive your covenant with you, Lord. Pray, Lord, that the word of salvation will come to them, that you will make visitations unto them, that you would awaken and open their eyes,
yes,
and stir
yes,
their
Lord.
Hearts to turn towards you, their maker. In the name of Jesus, breaking every
Thank
doctrine
you,
and tradition of man, every doctrine
yes,
of devil, every power of the adversary right now, in Jesus'
Break
name,
it.
Letting
Break
your blood it. Cleanse right now,
your blood, Jesus,
and restore
your
and
blood.
Make whole, in the
make
name
whole.
Of Jesus.
Thank
Lord
you,
God,
Lord
we
Jesus.
Thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for helping the people to fix on this broadcast, to help them to do what is needed in this technology to get the systems back working. But, Lord, we know we also have an adversary at work, and therefore we exercise the authority
yes.
in Christ Jesus
yes.
against the works of Satan. And every hidden spirit
you.
That the devil has sent over the airwaves, and every
we
hidden
rebuke
spirit
you.
That has come from the heavenlies, we rebuke. In the name of Jesus, we plead the
yes.
blood against you right now.
The blood,
and
the word of God against
turn
you.
Loose and let go right now. In the name
the
of
the sword
Jesus.
Of the Lord.
The sword
you.
Of the Lord right now is against
the
you.
The arrows of the Lord in pierce peace. You.
Lord.
Thank you.
In
Jesus
the name of
name.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all you that have been listening. Don't forget another Heart to Heart tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. And once again, we want to thank God for all of you. We love you all. As for Brother Lee
yes.
and Brother Nate, may God bless you. May God keep you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hey,
God bless, brother.
Amen. God bless you, bro.
Holy Spirit.